24 states are now fighting the Sackler family's attempt to seek immunity for their role fueling the opioid epidemic. The Sackler family owned Purdue Pharma, which sold OxyContin, and a new documentary is tracing how Purdue Pharma and other drug makers sparked the ongoing opioid crisis. It's called Crime of the Century, and it premieres this Monday on HBO. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us for more. And Eric, let's hear from a deposition that Richard Sackler gave in a lawsuit a few years ago. He was Purdue Pharma's chairman back then and promoted opioids even as fatal overdoses were on the rise.
There is no drug that is more effective or safer than opioids for treating pain over the long term.
Eric, how does this documentary draw that line between the opioid crisis and the Sackler family?
Well, basically, it's making the point that Richard Sackler in particular was involved in marketing the drug to doctors and encouraging them to overprescribe it, to prescribe it not just for people who were in severe pain, but to prescribe it for a much wider form of ailments like back pain and muscle pain and things like that. And the contention, of course, is that they created a $1 billion industry in this marketing, and they enriched their own family, something to the tune of $13 or $14 billion. But they also created a huge problem with addiction to opioids.
This documentary is called Crime of the Century. Does it make a convincing argument that there were a legal crossing of lines?
Sure. For example, it's in two parts. So the first part of the documentary talks a lot about Purdue Pharma, which developed OxyContin and sort of pioneered a lot of these marketing techniques. But then once they revealed that there was a market there, other smaller companies also got involved. They even would create these promotional videos to convince people that opioids would solve their pain issues but wouldn't lead to any negative consequences. And so in the documentary, they have a salesman from one of these companies talking about one of these videos. Let's check it out.
They had a video called I Got My Life Back. I played many a times in physicians' offices, sort of humanized the idea of treating pain patients.
Since I've been on this new pain medication,
I'm more of a partner to my husband again.
Now I can go to a movie.
I'm still alive.
And so you get a sense from watching this documentary of how the system worked, which was it was important for these powerful drugs, which were normally used for very small markets, you know, people who were at the end of life to make their life easier as they were passing away, try to expand the use of those drugs to people who had a wider range of ailments so that then you could prescribe OxyContin for back pain, or you could prescribe it for depression, or you could prescribe it for people who were recovering from other things, and it would expand the number of people it could be prescribed to, which would then expand, of course, the amount of sales that you would have.
Mm-hmm. How these drugs were marketed is really the basis of this documentary. How do you think it will impact the current climate that we're in regarding all of what we've learned about the Sackler family and Purdue Pharma and really opioids and the opioid epidemic overall?
Well, you know, one key component, for example, of the problem is that the pharmaceutical companies tried to remove direct personal responsibility for what they did from the equation. And so I think the struggle now, for example, is to try and get the Sackler family to personally be found liable and perhaps criminally liable for some of the things that the company did. And if you can create a situation where the people running these companies might go to jail for what they're doing, then that might be the ultimate discouragement.
Well, Eric, before I let you go, let's talk about one thing that's a little lighter, and that's Disney Plus's release of their new Star Wars show, The Bad Batch. Star Wars fans will know what I'm talking about when I say it's about these clone troopers going rogue as Emperor Palpatine sets up the Galactic Empire. This is an animated show. How does it compare to live action shows like The Mandalorian?
What's interesting, you know, what we've seen on Disney Plus is they've had a lot of success in creating these series that take characters that don't get a lot of screen time in big movies, and using them to tell really compelling stories. So what this animated show does is kind of build out the Star Wars universe a little bit more. And because it's an animated show and it's on Disney Plus, and I think they know that young people are going to wind up watching it, it's not as bloody or as explicit as even a show like The Mandalorian was. And it may feel a little simplistic to some adult viewers, but I think people who are deep fans will find a lot of storytelling elements that they love. And people who are casual fans will learn a lot more about the Star Wars universe. I had a really good time watching this.
Oh, this sounds great. Something both me and my son can watch together.
It is on Disney Plus right now. So you can watch the initial episode now.
Well, there we go. Well, thank you. That is NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Tanya Mosley.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. It's Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston and from T-Mobile for Business, dedicated to using unconventional thinking to help businesses realize new possibilities, reimagining support to provide solutions in the moment. T-Mobile.com/unconventional.